Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud on Out podcast. My name is Andreas.
And my name is Michael.
We are freelancers focusing 100% on AWS. Obviously, we are brothers too. And we do things like technical coaching, we do infrastructure bootstrapping, we do security reviews of AWS accounts, stuff like that. So we help our customers to accelerate their journey to the cloud. And every other week, we are recording this podcast, and each time one of us prepares the topic. So this week, it's up to you, Michael. So what's the topic that you have prepared?
Yes, Andreas. So today we are going to talk about a new feature that AWS released recently, and it's called Savings Plans. So do you have any idea what Savings Plans are about?
I'm not 100% sure. I hope it's, are they building a bank? So is it to save for college for kids, or is it, I don't know what it's about. That sounds funny. So obviously it sounds finance related. So it probably has something to do with my AWS bill, right?
Yes. So the last part is correct. So it has to do something with your AWS bill, and it's actually a new way to reduce your AWS bill. And the bigger story behind this is that if you are a cloud user, or if you are an AWS user, you are used to so-called on-demand capacity and also on-demand pricing. So you pay per use, which means if your EC2 instance, for example, is running, then you pay per second it is running or per minute if it's a Windows machine. So that's very flexible for us, the users, or the customers of AWS. But AWS itself has to do some capacity planning, because they should basically have the goal to never run out of resources. So they have to kind of predict upfront the future load to provision enough hardware for us that we can run our instances. So that's a kind of a two different goals. And saving plans are kind of a feature that allows AWS to do some resource planning, and us, as a benefit, it allows to reduce our AWS bill. So basically, we get a discount on a few compute resources, and AWS gets some more predictability. So that's kind of the deal here. And you might think, okay, but this is not very new. So there have been other ways to do this, and that's correct. So we had a way to do reserved instances on EC2. So this basically is a way that you commit to a certain amount of usage. And then you could either pay upfront, or you could also pay per month. So this was possible before, but there were a lot of limitations with these existing methods, and it was not very flexible in many ways. So that's what the saving plans are kind of improve. So that's why we are going to talk about them today. And we also try to compare them to the existing features that are already out there that you might already use. So one last question before we actually start, Andreas. Have you ever used one of the features to reduce the AWS bill with like a commitment, an upfront commitment to AWS?
Yes, so we did we did buy some reserved instances in the past. But what was a problem recently is that we are moving more and more workloads to AWS Fargate, so to container-based infrastructures. And always the problem was there that there was no such way as buying reserved instances there. So that was why we haven't used it so much recently. But of course, we have been doing so with reserved EC2 instances before. Yes. Maybe, Michael, one question before we start. So what is the discount that I can expect from using something like AWS Savings Plans?
Yeah, so I think with saving plans, it's not so easy, because they are kind of, or it varies a little bit, or not a little bit, it varies quite dramatic. So there can be savings from 10 to 70% actually. So and we are talking about the reasons for this and all those details in a few minutes. So Okay, so let me go into the details now. So let's talk about savings plans. So the feature was actually announced in early November. So it's, I think, now 15 days or something since we have this feature. And I think the big benefit of using savings plans is that they are really easy to use. Because with savings plans, you now commit to a certain amount of US dollars in usage per month. So you don't have to specify any instance types or things like this. You can, if you like, say, okay, I'm going to spend 10 US dollars per hour with AWS for the next year or the next 3 years. And then you get a discount on those 10 US dollars. And you can choose to pay everything upfront or partially upfront, or you can also pay nothing upfront. And depending on all these settings, like if this is a 1 or 3 year contract, and if you pay everything upfront or nothing upfront, the discount then varies on the 10 US dollars that you actually commit to pay. That's kind of how savings plans work. And the cool thing is, as you already mentioned, that it is possible with savings plans to also get a discount on the Fargate bill. So it doesn't only work for EC2, it works for Fargate as well. So the idea is that I think in the future it will work for all the compute services of AWS. So you can just say, okay, I'm going to spend $100 or maybe $1,000 on compute in AWS. And then you basically commit to this amount of spending, and then you get a discount on this amount of money that you are committing to spend, no matter if you actually spend it or not. So if you do not use the committed amount of dollars, then you are billed for it, even if you're not using it. So this is a commitment that you make to AWS, and so you have to pay for it, and no matter if you use it or not. So that's kind of how the savings plans work. Okay, so I think it's time to, before we go more into details, it's time to talk a little bit about the discounts that are possible, because that's actually, I think, one of the biggest motivations for us as customers to use the feature at all. I have a few examples for you, Andreas, and we have to be very careful because the pricing is different for every region in AWS, and also the discounts could be different in every region. That's something that we have to take into account. So the examples that I give you are from the North California region. Keep this in mind if you check the prices with other regions. They could be, and they are very likely, different. So one of the newer generations is the M5A instance type. So that's a powered by not the Intel processors, but by the AMD processors. And an XLarge instance costs you around $202 US dollars, and that's the on-demand rate. So this is if you just launch the EC2 instance without anything else, then you are buying an instance according to the on-demand rate. And the saving plans rate is $163 US dollars. So this is a 19% discount if you are using saving plans. And there are similar discounts for M5, for example, also M5 Large, M5A Large. So they are all roughly 20% in discount. And the next family is the C family. So this is the compute optimized family that where you get more CPU for your money. And there we see a discount of 26%, for example. And we can go on in this list, going on to the memory intensive family, the R family, where you get a 30% discount, for example. And then we have one of the older instance families, M2. And there you can, for example, expect a discount of 50%. So that's kind of a few data points. So Andreas, what do you think about the discounts here?
Okay, so actually what you can see is the discount varies very much. So it depends on the instance type, it depends on the region. And one thing I'm wondering about, does it also depend on the commitment. So if I do it for 1 year, 3 years, how much I pay up front? Is that also, I assume it's also reflected in the discount. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So if you, so for example, if you switch from 1 year to 3 year contract, then the discount will get better. And if you also, if you switch from no upfront payment to all upfront, the discounts also get better.
Okay. And your example was for which options for the savings plan?
I think it was 1 year all upfront.
Okay. So I can even expect more discount if I go to, for example, a 3 year term.
The cool thing is that, there are actually two types of, savings plans. So one is called the compute savings plans. And this is what I showed you or what I demonstrated you with the example. So those were all discounts provided by the compute savings plans. And the cool thing here is that if you commit to maybe $10 per hour of spending, you are not at all tied to any instance type. You can even switch from EC2 to Fargate in the future. So that's very flexible. So for example, if you are thinking about between 1 year and 3 year contract. So before savings plans, you always had to take into account, okay, what happens if AWS makes a major change to their platform? So for example, if they release a new instance family, or maybe they release something that's completely different, or maybe completely new EC2, I don't know what kind of thing it could be, maybe EC3, yeah? But if they release something like this and you have a three-year commitment, then you are kind of in troubles because you cannot switch because you have this big commitment made in the past. But with savings plans, it's actually very easy. You can even migrate your workloads within those 3 years from EC2 to Fargate, and you will still benefit from the discount and from the commitment that you made. So that's pretty flexible, I think. There's also a second type of savings plans, and it's only for EC2 instances. And it applies to a specific family, like for example, the M5, the C5, or R5 family. And it also is tied to a region. So there you can also expect different discounts. And that's something that I actually forgot when I talked about compute savings plans. They are even in a region independent. So let's assume I'm running my workloads in Ireland at the moment because I'm maybe based in, Italy. And for some reasons, in 1 year, AWS opens a new data center in Italy, and then I can migrate all my workloads to Italy, and still the savings plans need, I don't have to adjust it. It is the same savings plan, and it works across regions. So that's also pretty cool. So you cannot even switch between EC2 and Fargate. You can also switch between regions while you are having your savings plan.
Okay, so that sounds very flexible. I think the flexibility also makes it much easier to use it because you don't have to modify your reservations all the time. You just buy them once, and then they work whatever changes you do to your infrastructure. That sounds interesting. I have another question, Michael. So you talked about the discounts, a little bit about how savings plans work, but how do I actually get a savings plan? So what do I have to do?
So the integration, or I think the easiest way to get or buy a savings plans is through the cost manager. So you open the cost manager in the billing and cost management dashboard, and there you can purchase a savings plan. And now there are basically two ways to do it. If you are running a single AWS account, which is, I mean, if you do this professionally, then it's not very likely. But if this is your private account, then you might only have one single AWS account. Then AWS Savings Plan will kind of suggest the best plan for you. So they will look into the history of your usage, and they will provide the best option for you based on the usage pattern of the past, I think up to 90 days. So that's one option, and that's actually the easiest options. And then you just get a screen where they say, okay, if this is your monthly commitment, then this will be your saving. So that's pretty easy. Problem with this approach is, unfortunately, it doesn't work if you're using multiple AWS accounts and you link them together in an AWS organization. So if you receive a single bill for multiple AWS accounts, this nice feature, which helps you to actually configure your savings plan, doesn't work. So that's kind of a problem. So at the beginning, when I was reading about the launch of this new feature, I was just jumping right into the cost manager, and I selected everything, and it was not working. So I didn't get any recommendations from the savings plan, and it turns out that it's not working. But you still can kind of create this recommendation on your own. The data is in the cost manager, so you basically have to look at your baseline spending for compute, which is EC2 and Fargate likely. And so you can also get to this number pretty easy on your own by using other AWS tools.
Okay, fine. And then I'm just buying the savings plan. If I selected upfront payment, I need to pay for that immediately. If not, I'm just committing to the compute usage. Okay, fine. That sounds easy. So you mentioned that savings plans is also a big deal for container workloads on Fargate. So maybe you can you explain a little bit to me how this works, and also what the problem has been in the past for container-based workloads on Fargate?
So if you run the same container on an EC2 instance with two CPUs and 8 GB of memory, then it is maybe $1. And if you run the same thing on Fargate, then you pay $1.20 for it. So that's maybe an acceptable sort charge. But if you now compare this to the so-called reserved price of an EC2 instance, and that was the feature that we had before to reduce our EC2 bill, then this difference could be up to 70%.
Yeah, so for very steady workloads, Fargate was not really competitive with EC2 with reserved instances. That was the problem, yeah.
And this was especially if like the containers are a little bit bigger. So for example, if we are in an enterprise project where there are like larger applications in terms of memory footprint, then it's really easy to do the math that the EC2 option with reserved instances is much cheaper. Okay, so this was before savings plans, and luckily now we have savings plans. So if we basically do the math again, then the SOAR charge that we have to pay now is around 34% compared to EC2 reserved pricing. And all my examples were based on a one-year term with all upfront payment. But now it's again more competitive. So from 70%, we are down to 34%, which could be okay for most teams if you're not running very large amounts of containers. So the economics of scale do not work for your internal teams to do it on their own. I think it is a more reasonable price now than it was before with the savings plan.
Yes. Also, you can reduce your operational effort a lot because you don't have to manage the EC2 instance anymore. So I think the surcharge of 30% is probably or should be in the range that is the effort that you have to spend managing a cluster on your own. So I think that's probably at least competitive. Yeah.
Yes. So that's also what I think. So I understand that it was hard to get this benefit with 70%, but now I think it's really reasonable to accept the 34% for all this work that gets done by AWS for you. So
that's cool. So the containers is one big benefit of using saving plans compared to reserved instances. So what else is the difference between the reserved instances that we had before and now the savings plans, the new feature of AWS?
So let me go into this in more details. And now it gets a little bit tricky because reserved instances, and this was basically the way to reduce your EC2 bill before savings plans, and they evolved quite a bit over time. So we have four different types of reservations that you can make. And within those types, there are also different options, like with all upfront, no upfront, 1 year term, 3 year term. So this kind of stays the same. So the term and the upfront payment options are the same. But now we have different options within reserved instances. So let me start with the strictest possible way for a reservation. This is you reserve a EC2 instance type in a specific availability zone. So you don't have any region flexibility, so you cannot switch the region. You can also not switch the availability zone. So, and now I have to make a short like disclaimer. So you can modify the reservation and change the availability zone, but by default, the reservation only applies to a single availability zone in a single region. And it also applies to a specific instance type. So for example, C5 large. So you cannot easily change the instance family, but the big benefit that you get is a capacity reservation. So you don't you're not only getting a discount, you also get a capacity reservation. So you have guaranteed capacity in this availability zone for this instance type. So that's the standard reserved instance for a availability zone. And I will talk about the capacity reservation in a few minutes again, because that's actually a very unique feature of reserved instances. Okay, so now we have a second type of reserved instances, which is the convertible reservation in a specific availability zone. You get a bigger discount here. Again, you don't have, you cannot, so it applies to a specific region. And it also applies to a specific availability zone, also to a specific instance type, and also to a specific instance family. But the thing is, or what the convertible basically means, is that you can change the instance family now. So you have to change or modify your reservation, but because it's a convertible reservation, you can actually switch to a different instance family. So which is very helpful if you have, for example, a three-year term. So within 3 years, it's very likely that AWS will release a new generation of an instance. So for example, from C5 to maybe the new C6 instance type. So that's something that would help you in this case, because then you can actually convert your reservations to the new C6 instance types that might be released during the 3 years. Those reservations also come with a capacity reservation.
Okay, so Michael, the difference between a standard reservation and a convertible reservation is, with a convertible reservation, I can change the instance family of my reservation. It does not apply automatically, but I can modify this reservation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm getting a higher discount on the standard one because I'm less flexible, and a little bit less of a discount with the convertible.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay. But both of them are, so the scope for both of these types that you discussed is the availability zone. So I have a reservation for a specific availability zone, and also capacity reservation. Okay, got that. Okay, so you mentioned that there are four types, so there are two more. So let's go to that.
Yes. And now it basically, the only thing that changes is that we are switching from the availability zone scope, we are now going to the region scope. So the standard reserved instance for a region, basically you are now tied to a region, so you're no longer tied to an availability zone. And you have, because of that, you have full flexibility of the availability zone within the region. You have also instance type flexibility within the region. So you don't have to modify the reservation anymore if you change from C5 large to C5 extra large or something like this. So there's an internal table how basically they have some new factor that they can say, okay, so if this reservation was for this instance type, it also applies to half of a extra large from a large instance, for example. So it's a little bit more complicated, but it basically is easier to use, actually, because you can just buy a reservation and then it applies to any instance size within the family, depending on the factor that they use to convert the size. But this is usually like just if you go from a large to an extra large, the factor is just two times higher. So that's not that hard to actually estimate. Okay, we don't have instance family flexibility here, so you cannot change the family. So if you are if you have a reservation for C5, then you have a reservation for C5. And now the big change here is that you don't get a capacity reservation anymore, because you are not tied to an availability zone, and you're only tied to a region, and that's why you don't get a capacity reservation anymore. Because the availability zone actually is kind of the data center of AWS. So if you're not tied to an availability zone, then you also can't get a reservation for capacity. Okay, so last but not least, now we have the convertible reserved instance that is bound to a region. And here you have... basically, compared to the standard version that I talked about before, you get instance family flexibility, so you can modify the reservation. So that's basically the difference. As I said, there's also no capacity reservation included here. Okay. So why is the capacity reservation important? So we experienced problems in one of the regions that our customers use, which is Frankfurt, EU Central 1. So we had an outage in one of the availability zones. It was basically not available for a few hours. And in this case, everyone that has an automated setup, for example, autoscaling groups, will, in a very short amount of time, move their workloads from this availability zone that's not working anymore and spread it to the other two availability zones that are available. So if the workloads are evenly distributed, we have 33% of workload in every availability zone. So if you do the math, if one of the availability zones goes down, then you are basically shifting 33% of your workloads to the other two availability zones. And if every customer of AWS is doing this, then AWS will run into issues because they don't have so much free capacity available in the other availability zones. And we experienced a lot of troubles with AWS services, including Fargate during this time, because, for example, Fargate was not able to launch containers anymore because they just didn't. There was no capacity available anymore in Frankfurt and the other two availability zones. And these problems can also apply to EC2 instances. And it gets more tricky if you run on the really big machines. So if you are looking for high memory machines and things like this in such cases where a availability zone goes down, then you will likely not get one of those instances. And there will be just an error from the API that says that there's no capacity available. And then you have to wait. And depending on, basically you wait until the other availability zone is running again, because AWS will not be able to provision new machines during this 2-hour downtime window. So that's kind of a problem. And if you rely on these machines, then you might have to think about a capacity reservation. But basically then it's you who pay for the additional capacity. Like, you basically over-provisioned your systems to deal with the case where one of the availability zones goes down. So it's expensive to be prepared for these kinds of events, but if your application requires it, then it's something that you have to keep in mind, and that you can only get guaranteed capacity with such a reserved instance reservation tied to a specific availability zone.
Okay, yeah, that's very important to remember. So the instances that are already running are fine, but if you want to launch new instances to replace instances from a failed availability zone, then you probably will run in no capacity errors in case of, for example, an availability zone outage. Yeah, that's what we have experienced many times. So that's something you have to keep in mind when designing your architecture.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's have a look at the two new versions of savings plans that we have. So we have the compute savings plan, which works for containers and EC2 instances at the same time. There you have region flexibility. So that's the only way you get region flexibility is with compute savings plans. Was not possible before. You have full availability zone flexibility. You have full instance type flexibility. You have full instance family flexibility without any modifications that you have to do. And you don't have any capacity reservation. So basically, the only thing that you don't get is a capacity reservation. So let's look at the EC2 instance savings plan type. So the benefit here is that the discount is a little bit higher compared to the compute savings plan. You don't have region flexibility. So an EC2 instance savings plan is tied to a specific region. You have full availability zone flexibility. You have full instance type flexibility. You don't have instance family flexibility. And you also don't make a capacity reservation here. So in general, you can say that savings plans are more flexible compared to reserved instances. But you also have to take into account that the discounts are not the same. So let me give you a few examples. And this is all now depends very heavily on the instance type that you choose, the terms, and so on. So the example that I have here for you is a discount for an M5 large running on Linux in, again, North California on a one-year term, and you pay everything up front. So with a compute savings plan, you get a discount of 20%. With a reserved instance that is convertible, you also get 20% discount. With an EC2 instance savings plan, you get a 30% discount. And with a reserved instance standard version, you get also 30% of discount. So basically, you don't only, so the flexibility comes kind of with its own costs, but yeah, so usually, so this is how my understanding is that savings plans are much easier to handle because they come with the highest savings, they come with the highest flexibility. So compute savings plans are very flexible compared to all the others. While you get the highest discount for the standard reserved instance type or EC2 instance savings plan. So if you look for a big discount, then you are maybe looking into these regions. If you're looking into flexibility, then basically compute savings plans are the option for you.
So Michael, one thing, what's interesting here, I think, is that the compute savings plan gives you the same discount than reserved instance convertible. So actually there is no reason anymore, in my opinion, to use the reserved instance convertible anymore because I'm getting the same discount, but more flexibility with a compute savings plan. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the same is true for the EC2 instance savings plan compared to the reserved instance standard reservation. I also get the same discount, but I get much more flexibility with the EC2 instance saving plan. So probably there's also not really a need to do reserved instances anymore. And speaking about capacity reservations, so there is also another way to get a capacity reservation. You can also just provision or buy capacity reservations themselves. So without any a link to reserved instances at all. You can go to the EC2 service and just buy your capacity reservations there. So then I can have both. I can have the savings plans and buy my capacity reservation separately. Okay, cool. So what else is important when dealing with AWS savings plans?
Yeah, so I think as also, it was also important with reserved instances, you want to know if you utilize your reservation or your savings plan. So for example, if you your saving plans commits to $10 of usage per hour, you want to know that you actually really use this $10, because otherwise you still pay for it, but you don't benefit from it. So the way to monitor it is that you can, or the way to go with monitoring is that you can create a budget. And the budget, you can say, okay, if the utilization drops below maybe 100%, maybe 90%, or maybe 95%, then please alert me. So that's one option. So you can be alerted based on the utilization. And basically, you want to be alerted if it's maybe less than 100% or maybe less than 95% or something like this. So that's an option. The other option is that basically the reverse. So you want to know if you are under reserved. So for example, if your savings plan covers $10 per hour, but you're actually using 20 for most of, or for every, the baseline is 20, then your coverage is 50%, because you only cover 50% of your baseline expenses with the savings plan. So you could also create a budget for this and say, okay, if the coverage of my savings plans are below maybe 80% or 70%, then I also want to get an alert and deal with the problem, which basically means buy a new savings plan. Or maybe it could also be the reason that you're maybe doing a migration, and that's why there are two systems running in parallel for the next weeks. The data from the budget basically gives you an indication, and then you have to maybe double check internally in your organization if it makes sense to increase the savings plan here. But that's a very convenient way to get notified. Okay, so next thing that I want to talk about. So buying savings plans can be expensive. So I mean, if you do a 3-year commitment for a certain amount of dollars, and with one single click, basically you can spend a lot of money. So that's why you might want to restrict who is allowed to do this. And this was possible with reserved instances. So there's an IAM action for this, and there's also an IAM action for savings plans. And one recommendation, if you're using AWS organizations, is that you could, in certain accounts, for example, you can just deny it on the STP level, so that no one is actually able to buy such a savings plan. Or if you have very fine granular IAM roles within your accounts, you can also make sure that not everyone is able to buy a savings plan, because yeah, there is a lot of money involved. So that's one way to protect from these kinds of problems.
So you spoke about AWS organizations, and this brings one question to my mind. So if I buy a savings plan in one AWS account and I'm not using it in this particular AWS account, can other AWS accounts from my organization benefit from the savings plan as well?
So yeah, that's possible. Okay, so what is not possible? Maybe let's talk about this now. The compute savings plan covers EC2 and Fargate. So there are reservation options available for RDS, Elasticsearch, and DynamoDB, and they are not yet integrated into the new savings plans. So they still rely on their like EC2-like way to do reservations. The problem is that if you really try to keep your costs down by reservations, you have to track your usage continuously. That's really a lot of work. So we hope that we can see something like savings plans, or maybe embed the others' ways into savings plans, so that would be even easier. So there's a single place where we can say, okay, I'm going to spend $10 per month for storage or for databases, so please reduce my bill, AWS. So that would be nice.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So it looks a little bit like that, but let's see what the future is bringing. Okay. So these are other options for other AWS services. And so we have reserved capacity there. And are there any other options to reduce costs for EC2? So that's maybe compared to other options as well.
Yeah, so I think the most prominent way to reduce your bill on EC2 is using spot instances. So AWS made a few changes to the spot market, and I think as of today, the spot market is pretty stable, which means the prices are lower than the on-demand prices, and the likelihood that your EC2 instance is terminated because of a price increase is very low. Yeah, but what you can get in terms of saving, so again, in the North California region, if you are looking for an M5 large instance, the spot price is 60% below the on-demand price, so which is great. I mean, that's a huge saving. Okay, so I think that's it, Andreas. So we talked about the new savings plans. Any question that you have that is not answered yet by my...
No, thank you very much, Michael. So that was very interesting. So AWS Savings Plans, the very flexible way to commit to a monthly or hourly usage, sounds very interesting. And I think we should definitely buy our first savings plan. Or did you already do so, Michael?
I was fighting with this problem that linked accounts are not working for the recommendation. So I complained a little bit that it's not working, and I hope that they are going to fix it soon, but it was not fixed. So I did the math on my own. But now we have a savings plan. And the cool thing is that, so we actually plan to, so we have some workloads on EC2, and we also have some workloads on Fargate, and the plan is to move it, as you know, Andreas, to migrate it to Fargate, but as time permits. So we expect that we are going to shift most of the stuff to Fargate next year.
Yeah, so a compute savings plan is perfect choice for us. Okay.
Exactly. So we are covered, so that's pretty cool. Okay, so basically the recommendation here is that the new savings plans are pretty flexible, so they are much easier to manage. So I think they are worth a look. And if you need a capacity reservation, then keep this in mind that this is something that you have to do additionally and buy a capacity reservation so that you are not running into issues if a availability zone goes down. Okay, Andreas, so it's time for a few announcements. And I think the most important announcement is about reInvent. So that's the big AWS conference in Las Vegas. And I'm also having a talk there. And if you still have some slots available in your schedule, the session takes place on Wednesday. And it starts at 10 a.m. in the morning. So that's one of the first sessions. And it's called Cutting Edge Architectures Based on AppSync, Lambda, and Fargate. So there's also some Fargate in here. And the ID of the session is DYC02. So I will put it into the show notes. So if you're interested and want to meet me after the talk, so there will be some time after the talk so we can. Or if you're interested, then feel free to come by and say hello. So I will be there. So that's for sure.
Well, cool. So one thing to mention, there is a blog post that covers the same topic than this podcast episode, and you will find links in the show notes. Also, you will find links to our Twitter, LinkedIn, email to give us feedback. So if you listen to this podcast, please tell us what you think about it. We are very happy to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.